with your host, Jerry Stearns. Good evening, I'm Jerry Stearns, and tonight on Sound Effects, a little after the top of the hour, we've got one more episode of A Canticle for Leibowitz, our ongoing series. But we're going to have something that's a good bit different. Before that, it's still in the science fictional field, I think. But even before that, here's just a few words from Channel 85.
A friendly reminder, you have reached the midpoint of your charged viewing cycle. Is it time to charge ahead?
Insert here.
Thanks anyway. Now here's your picture back.
And now a reply from the other side. Channel 85's opinion to the contrary. Speaking for himself, citizen Milton Spurt, president of Spurt Furniture. Milton.
If I'm going to be charged in a free society, then it is my view that opinions expressed, editorial or otherwise, should be carefully eliminated. And so, I wish to suggest that opinions expressed on your television should in no way represent the opinions of the management or various members of the staff or their families and few friends. Nor should these views express the opinions of the subscribers and their staff. Unless, of course, we are willing to assume the responsibility for their opinions, not to influence anyone else or their family or friends or staff. Anyway, that's what it says here, and I'm only reading it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That was from Procter & Bergman's TV or Not TV, a record album which well preceded any kind of cable television. And now let me introduce you to something very unusual. It is a record from 100 to 125 years in the future, found in an elevator at 205 West 57th Street, February 11th, 1969. It appears to be an audio record by someone named Deckard, who is trapped in maybe a vessel. It's unclear to us. He is talking about recent events, but there is nothing on there that we recognize at all. It appears to have been made in the year 2058 CDS, which is called the Carbon Dating System, which does not make it clear what year that might be related to us. It was about a 10-inch plastic record with grooves, but no center hole, so it's unclear how it was made or how it should be played. Anyway, it is a very enigmatic episode. It is available in other places online, but it's so obscure that I thought I should bring it to you because it is exactly the kind of science fiction, perhaps, that is good for sound effects. Found in an elevator, 1969.
Testing. Testing. 0, 0, 0. Now I have it leveled. I don't know what to say. This is an experiment. Unauthorized. My reasons for doing this experiment are several. As I said, this is totally unauthorized. I'm not even signed to be in this area. But I had this idea of doing this objective. This is a superior start. If the second stage of this operation goes negative error, I estimate placing this disc retro to approx time year AD 1953, 1953, possibly 4. That year's the only frequency I could remember without getting tapes up. I'm not even certain I have that correct, but it is approx. And if it's an error, then nobody's hearing us anyway. I can see I should have prepped this better. I'm storing this feed on one of these disks that have been located in this division for an extended period of time. I had guessed they're utilized for ordinary blue verbal data banking. But I saw on core, Knight 17-6, that same class disks were also utilized retro in late AD. You had a lot of these mechanical products. And this data generated a cortical image of how I could recircuit Solex 2.
Service day 14-6. Hop transfer 3E9 slash 14 code 2165VV. Negative. Unit self-corrects until day 17-10. Cut a green tester to see if it blows any dust. Cert if you verify. Read out RNL. Console high power is done. C-172649K11. Plug in 09244761, panel signal, code 4F22.
I imaged this method for recircuiting Solex 2, which is this unit in the adjacent module that basically it transposes time frequencies for interplanet matter transport. Blue verbal seems impossibly slow, but if I shift to yellow or UV, it might not receive. UV wouldn't take on this disk anyway without an adapter. Anyway, I had estimated that on high energy levels, Solex could warp this disk retro to the negative template of current setting, which is, as I say, should be approx year AD 1953, possibly plus. I don't think this has been done before. No knowledge of reason. The hardware's all long-term stock, but your mind just doesn't seem to function that way. Retro, I mean. Factually, we have a semi-black picture of that time, your time. All mechanical and disunified before major coordinations. But at base, personnel just... don't think about it. No knowledge of reason. I do. I respond pro to the cortical image I have of presidents, voting, animals, big airplanes, all kind of physical and slow. My estimated reason for this reaction is failure to receive my History 2 infusion. That's the only reason I can image. I was ABLA when my T-section had their key infusion administered, day 21-246, and my first resket never came through, and for second resket, night 23-546, I never showed up. Kind of spontaneous action. I've been doing data pickup whenever I can plug in, but without that first infusion, they're definitely limited. I assume that's why I respond pro to this cortical image of the past that I've made. Oh, Max, I wish I knew time-lapse since AD 1953. Unable to head compute with negative knowledge of scale, and there's no terminal in this room. Adam now is 258, but that's CDS, carbon dating system, which must have negative meaning for you. And atoms are shorter than years anyway, so dry loop. But I estimate it as not being too long retro in straight linear time. So we have some sustainers now who were born approx AD 1953. I've touched with some of them, but they're so full of plastic, it's next to impossible to get any kind of printout from them.
Living on you too, holy baby. Touch me. You were missed, but no energy loss. I'm doing a blue verbal move. Yes, query location. The Conan opened 21-6. Checked it on core and estimated you're gonna hover. Report. Oh, on B-axis. You're on rec time. I thought it was in district. Query, travel time. 17 minutes, worth it? Oh, Max, now you're holding my hand. But I image it as a class of diethyl in 61 station. Query, innovation. Any solitude simulants? Any solitude simulants?
Hold. Check alter 140K reads 212K, 129K reads 16K. Manual feedback immediate.
Interrupt. Touch you later.
Bracket, hold open brief while I bounce locator check off. Start.
CDS intro post year 1953. I estimate 36 to 48 years. Bugger's my lack of cortical scale how long a year is. A history infusion. It's impossible to pick up single cell data like that independently, and I've been manually requesting reskit for Mills. My primary impulse now is to feed you questions, but that would yield zilch effectiveness under circumstances. Query, do you know of feedback from AD? If so, utilize it. I have a definite positive impulse to touch with you. Meanwhile, necessitates I give one-way blue verbal fluid, which I function zilch and hope it receives. I can't believe this operation hasn't been performed before. And me, a J3. My ident... Actually, I haven't even told you my ident for brain regello. My name is Decca, TL and Index J3, as I said, and my T group is the Roaring Vectors 252 of New East Web Charlie. That's single stack, but it's one of the best boards online and really requires fill up for a J3 out of there. I don't know how indexes were in your honor, but present J3 is on red rating now and is nothing to be put under by. A bio parent of mine is doing programming in Denver, and she estimates possible to shift my record up to 5 bankrupt, possibly 6. But I told her negative bother. Product of a shift like that would be my rec time programmed at mid-anima, prox 42 hours additional travel time privilege, and an impossible 6 or 7 degree bi-credit addition. I mean, who needs it? The data change pain would totally negate pause effect. The extra travel TP I could utilize, of course, but I have a teammate in Denver at Tunnelran who had code access and indicates he could program an extra 6 hours into my record. Interrupt, I have a feed coming. If I can get him looped into my... Bloody frontal feed. So now I know all about K-axis traffic flow. Bloody feed.
Origin 12, this is... Origin 12, ident DECA, TL, J3, CMR 00965, with a normal punch in a blue verbal verification. DECA, TL, J3, CMR 00965. Receive right frontal feed, hour 1317. Date this. Contrary to stop order on all frontal feed authorized panel, JSON, code 3B9, effective until individual med check night 11-8. Request manual put right immediate. Who uses K-access anyway?
I've had this malfunction in my 9-spot. I don't know what you call them. We call them spots, stickers, trodes. The electrodes in your head. And my number 9, which is what the frontal feed comes in on, has had this tenderness around it for several days, starting night 13-7. And when a feed comes in, I manifest a pain reaction up to 4 or 5 degrees in that hemisphere. I can neutralize it with a manual feed on my 14 spot that a teammate told me about, but these local feeds, they come in so quickly. Interrupt, I have to turn this disc over. I have an emotion of regret in not requesting one of my unit to co-opt in this operation. He can do blue verbal, so it's really red on the meter, and he'd know what subject matter I should be utilizing. My own evaluation is dry loop, but I guess I'll utilize it as a test and repeat effort when I can improve prep. Identis Deckard, TLJ3. I don't know what you want to hear. Well, I guess any data would have interest. So much must be altered. Max, when I image receiving feed from what's going to happen, just any class of touch, I need to know the consequences of my action. That's very, very high. Feed. Marek League posts a second schedule coordinator with a Vectus 254, primarily in volleyball. We've been strong in recent mills. We've been pooling credits steady. Well, UE credits are approx 19 sub-degrees, estimate 18.7. Close to 36, which if you don't know is rated X on nearly all new E standards. Our competition is all sub-district so far. I'm also in chess and cinemetrics. And of course the FDE, full district and counters on a view deck. That is something you should see. But volleyball is my major competitive time involvement. My non-comprec time has been mostly at regular strike centers in Brazil, Australia, and Wendell. Also lunar centers, Adam 255. Next is scheduled for day 710, probably 2 mils. I work a lot in my social interaction teams, too. That's important to keep up. There's also the 268-hour CAI time, which is... The CAI is cultural and artistic involvement, which has just been jumped to 271 per annum per source DF day 14-7. I'm in two-dimensional graphics, mainly oil painting. I'm trying to get a labor time increase into my record.
K11-7035-220623. Tropic GBS 625H, neg positive GBS 1200/2204, level at 9-N times 10 to the minus 5 times 6 over J sub N. Circuit acknowledge 0.621 alpha, delta 256 mu scale. Hold J at 1 over 10 to the 8 with the component check. S12 unit yield at 7.24 N over N sub 3 times row times with the gamma yield over J. It's all the call. Check scope readout on 7-2 for error. 6 personnel are on the line at 1 major unit. High bench deck of PLJ3.
I've been trying for this labor time increase on a TSAI, which is a technical skill application improvement. My tech skill is systems integration and copy units, and my labor time is currently 389 hours per annum. But I factually need an additional 48 or 52 to maintain proficiency. I mean, that's something that Denver can't seem to assimilate, that systems integration is a complex skill, and the M&M training and infusions can only give you so much. I mean, personnel really need the applied labor experience to enable you to operate full efficient. And hyper with a sign change issue every 3 mils is current. I'm on labor time at present in a protein processing plant. 47 copy units in this section, plus extensions. This is reading out like a complaint file, then that's an absolute error, and image should correct immediate. My personal buy credit has been kept up steady. My unit relationships are very satisfactory, sexually and panologically. My record is active. I factually find this is fun and fluid an environment as a person can request. I'm not one of these neurotic detractors who deserve everything that's been issued to them. You don't know what's been occurring. These detriment incidents. Even that demonstrates how much can be assimilated in the system. These detractors all have their levels to live according to their individual preferences. Trode factions. I suppose you had them, the anti-electrode people. Nobody's pro-electrode. Some instances, I affirm they do cause more trouble than they alleviate, but we're leveled at...
Para servicio 3528, a meridio segundo del este, día 165, a circuito del este, noche 155, alto a 82, se acabó.
Hmm. level currently at 13.628 billion personnel and 3.8 million major units. You don't feed coordinates to that level of population by chemoverbal or any other media. We need that organization. The detractor is only nudging the red button. Not pro-electrodes. I have no tolerance for these personnel who get a 28 or 29 implant for stims or to jump their index or something. But what sort of standard of living would we achieve without them? These anti-Trump people, the real abstainers, with even their BIs, with a high percentage of their printout is perfectly RL, but... should have thought of that a long time ago. Check a TLJ3. Instance, this hypothalamus proposal, origin 16 day 11-6. I am definitely con making spot 18 compulsory. At present, we have 9 BIs, birth implants, 7 other compulsories, and the rest optional. And in my readout, that's sufficient to maintain any level of coordination. The reason for this opinion is I think Denver is using this proposal to conserve the core energy at a loss to general personnel. That's only a personal effort, but I maintain it. Affirm, I am not one of these neurotic detractors. My readout of Denver and Wash 1 and even Wash 2 is that they're functioning max capacity with zero defect orientation, if not total achievement. My lover in Wash 1 is a K3 with rec time at Stenrad, and he's given us direct feed on this. Core detraction activity in China and Pontac can only divert world energy and never affect any pause off. This negative feedback we're operating under, I can't even head guess what percent of this you're assimilating. Image enough to get some sort of printout. But if this is only for tests, then I'm really blowing blue gas for negative. I'll do a vocal. Catacut, get on, get on. Catacut, get off, get off. Catacut, catacut, go. Blue catacut, just to there, just to ride. Blue catacut. White catacut, catacut, air blowing, almost there. White catacut, catacut. Catacut, get on, go. That's from way retro and pre-T group. It's factually an obsolete vocal. That catacut is sound the obsolete slidewalks made at turnings. Blue at 12 kps and white at 28. Current ones are silent. If I had some correct cortical image of late AD, even a prefrontal incomplete, I could direct this recording plus effective by minimum 66%. Query, Blue Verbal, do you even utilize it? I have no correct knowledge of your time. I've only isolated bits and images. Lots of metal, animals, soldiers. But read this. It's my reason for trying to touch with you. And that's it factually, to get some feedback from you. To know about before this, what antedated this, what made... Unsolicited, holy baby. That was most negative action. Persons do not go 58 hours minus water and stay homeostatic. Our panastol and the rest are all in our water system now, and I tried this. Spontaneous action. I've not taken any in since night 15-7. It's completely unreasonable, and I knew it could only tip up my system. I get my med check predated. My lover, Gail. She sees these bumps in my behavior profile. In fact, all of them do. I've gotten signals from my whole unit at one time or another about it. I have no feedback for it. My bio parents were both K-7s with every mutation in the charts. My prenatal was full treatment with zero defect. I mean, query, should I just ride my three spot all day and live on glory feed? I'll get my med check predated. This disc is absolute negative. But keep your frequencies open, AD, because DECA TL is fixated, and when DECA TL... Hold a second. Oh, Max, I hope I'm correct about this. Frankie and Johnny were sweethearts. Oh, what a couple in love. Frankie was da-da-da-da-da. Just as true as the stars above. Interrupt.
A record found in an elevator at 205 West 57th Street, February 11th, 1969. I have no idea how that came about. It is an excellent piece of science fiction audio, though. I got it at a science fiction convention in 2003, but I find it posted online on YouTube, and it's posted on SoundCloud by Will Wheaton. And I also found it at a couple other more academic sources online as well. I won't pretend to know how it came about. I just think it's good science fiction. Coming up next here on Sound Effects, we've got episode 5 of A Canticle for Leibowitz. We're coming to the end of the Age of Faith segment of this epic tale. And in this episode 5, Brother Francis encounters some dangerous scavengers who come from the Valley of the Mistborn. Who knows where that was? So that's what's coming up next. But stick around now for a while because we've got some required messages here at the top of the hour. And then we'll be back with A Canticle for Leibowitz.
From Minneapolis's historic West Bank, you're listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and St. Paul, or streaming and archived on kfai.org. It's where community has always grown.
You're listening to Sound Effects, a radio playground on KFAI Fresh Air Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jerry Stearns, and tonight on Sound Effects, it's another contribution by KFAI to the betterment of the radio airwaves. It's episode 5 of Wisconsin Public Radio's A Canticle for Leibowitz.
A Canticle for Leibowitz, part 5 of a series in 15 parts. Here continueth the chronicle, set down daily by the brethren of Isaac Edward Leibowitz, in their abbey in the desert of the Southwest. Now come we to the time, forever to be held in grateful memory, when our order, and therefore these chronicles, cease to be dedicated to the blessed Leibowitz. Name we him now Saint Isaac Edward Leibowitz. For in the last year of the life of Brother Francis Gerard, it was decreed that our founder be canonized. And this happened in part through the findings of that same Brother Francis. For he it was who found the ancient room, hidden beneath the ground, wherein sacred relics of our founder had lain hidden 6 centuries and more. And beside these relics, Francis found the skull of our founder's wife, who perished in the flame deluge, unto whom Leibowitz was wedded before he entered religion. Now among the relics was a picture made by our founder in blue and white and superscribed Circuit Design. This picture Brother Francis was charged to take to New Rome as a gift on the day of the canonization. And with it he took also, for presentation to the Holy Father, an illuminated copy thereof, made by himself on finest lambskin, resplendent with inks of many colors, and inlaid throughout with gold.
The trip to New Rome would take 3 months, perhaps longer. The time depending, to some extent, on the distance Francis could cover before the inevitable band of robbers relieved him of his donkey. He traveled alone and unarmed, with only his bindle-stiff and begging bowl, and carrying the relic and its illuminated replica.
They won't take them. They wouldn't have any use for them. They don't always take everything. If something doesn't seem to have any value to them, they leave it. I mean, sometimes they even let you go without killing you.
2 months after leaving the abbey, he met his robber on a heavily wooded mountain trail at the edge of a canyon, far from any human settlement except the Valley of the Mistborn, which lay a few miles to the west, where a colony of these misfortunates lived in seclusion. They'd congregated there several centuries ago, their ranks continually replenished by other monstrously deformed beings that sought refuge from the world. Even within the church, some said such creatures had been deprived of the image of God, that their souls were but animal souls, that they might with impunity be destroyed as animal and not man. No, said New Rome. Let that which is born of human parents be suffered to live. So it was that the Mistborn came to be called the Pope's children. The robber who accosted Francis was not in any obvious way one of the malformed, but that he came from the Valley of the Mistborn was evident. Because from behind the robber, a strange figure arose up on the slope, and its mocking hoots echoed off the canyon walls. The figure was wearing a robe with 2 hoods. The robber himself stood in the trail directly ahead. A short man, heavy as a bull, armed with a knife and chewing on a bone. The figure up on the slope unleashed an arrow. The missile hit into the trail just behind the donkey.
Get off! Not bad. A bit skinny, though. Not this time. Too scrawny.
Francis was not entirely convinced they were talking about the donkey.
Good day to you, sir. You may take the donkey. Walking will improve my health, I think.
He smiled and started away. Another arrow slashed into the trail at his feet.
Now, strip. And let's see what's in that roll and in the package.
Well, you can see I'm carrying a begging bowl. I don't have anything.
I've seen that trick before. Last man with a bowl had gold in his boot. Now, strip.
Francis untied his bindle stick, spread its contents for display, and began to undress. The robber searched his clothing, found nothing, and tossed the clothing back to him.
Now, let's see inside that other package.
It contains only documents of value to no one except the owner.
Open it.
Francis untied the package, unwrapped the original blueprint, and the illuminated commemoration. The gold leaf inlay and the colorful design flashed in the sunlight.
What a pretty. Now, wouldn't a woman like that to hang on the wall?
Oh, no.
Please. He's got gold. Gold.
We'll eat later. He gets hungry after a couple of days just sitting there. Business is bad. Traffic's light these days.
Yes. I'm sure it
is. Hey, what's this? A charm? One is a ghost of the other. What magic is this? What's it called?
It's a transistorized control system for Unit 6B. Yeah. Oh, please. The gold is so thin, sir. It's worth nothing to speak of. Weigh it in your hand. It's of no use to you. Please, sir, take my clothing instead. Take the donkey. Take whatever you will. But leave these. Please. They mean nothing to you.
Keep your clothes. I'll take the charms.
Oh, for the love of God, sir, please.
What are they for?
Nothing. Nothing, sir. One is a memento of a man long dead, an ancient. The other is only a copy.
Well, what good are they to you?
You know the forest tribes, how they venerate their ancestors.
And we despise our ancestors. Cursed be they who gave us birth. You know who we are, where we are from.
Yes, yes, I know. And I meant no offense.
Well, good.
The ancient, whose relic this is, he's not our ancestor. He was our teacher. We venerate his memory. This is only a keepsake. No more.
What about the other one?
I made it myself. Please, sir. It took me 15 years. It's nothing to you. Please. You wouldn't take 15 years of a man's life for no reason.
15 years?
Yes.
You spent 15 years making this?
Oh, but...
Francis was suddenly silent. The robber's finger was tapping the original blueprint.
This took you 15 years? It's ugly. 15 years? So that's what you do way out there, huh? Why? What's it good for? 15 years to make this.
Francis watched in silence. The robber had mistaken the relic itself for the copy of the relic. Still laughing, the robber threw both documents to the ground, then took his knife from his belt and tossed it down beside the papers.
Tell you what, boy, I'll wrestle you for them. Them against my knife.
Well,
at least a contest would give heaven a chance to intervene in an unobtrusive way.
Done.
They squared off. They circled briefly. 3 seconds later, the monk lay groaning on the flat of his back under a short mountain of muscle.
Now, you gotta buy him back. I want him fair enough.
I hear nothing. I am poor.
That's all right. If you want them bad, you'll get gold. 2 hecklos of gold, that's a ransom. Bring it here any time you want them back. Bring gold.
Listen, they're important to other people, not to me. I was taking them to the Pope. Maybe they'll pay you for the important one. Let me have the other one, please. Please, just show them. Please.
The robber stuffed the illuminated copy into his shirt, mounted the donkey, and threw back to Francis the ancient blueprint.
Take it, then. 15 years. Remember, 2 hecklos of gold will ransom your keepsake. And tell your Pope I want it fair. Ride. Eat later.
Praise God for robbers who could make such a mistake. Tenderly, Francis held the original blueprint as he limped down the trail toward New Rome. But gradually, a sadness engulfed him. The taunting voice still rang in his ears. 15 years! So that's what you do over there. His heart was troubled by the robber's mockery. He thought of Brother Jairus's gentler mockery of earlier years. Maybe Jairus had been right. His head hung low in his hood as he traveled slowly on. The hour had come. Francis knelt in the basilica before the beginning of the ceremony. Here and there among the crowd, someone stifled a cough or stumbled. Suddenly, a peal of trumpets. The crowd arose and then knelt in a slow wave that followed the movement of a chair containing a frail old man in white who gestured his blessing as the procession moved him toward the throne. Breath kept choking up in Francis's throat. The ceremony was brief. Someone approached the throne. The saint's advocate. Monsignor Aguera.
Sancte Pater, ab sapientia, summa petimus utile beatus libuis, cuius miracula mirati sub multi, ad perpetuum ecclesiae sancte honorem subsidium.
Aguera called upon the Pope for definition concerning the belief that the Beatus Libuits was indeed a saint.
Gratissima nobis causa est fili directissime, Deo volente diebus per paucis urbi et orbi annunciabo illum conditorem.
The Pope chanted in response, explaining it was by divine guidance alone that he might comply with Aguera's request. He asked all to pray for that guidance. And the litany of the saints was chanted.
Pater de celis Deus, miserere nobis, fili redemptor mundi Deus, miserere nobis, Spiritus Sancte Deus, miserere nobis, Sancta Trinitas Unus Deus, miserere.
After that, Aguera pleaded again for the proclamation, and at last it came. Pope Leo XXI intoned the decision of the Church, rendered under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, proclaiming an ancient and rather obscure scientific technician named Leibowitz to be a saint. And after a brief prayer, the ceremony was over. Monsignor Aguera escorted Francis to an audience with the Pope. Francis experienced a sudden dizzy spell, then remembered. Arcos had threatened to flay him alive if he fainted during the audience. So he steeled himself against it, found courage to focus his eyes. In the basilica, the Pope had been a spot of white in a sea of color. Here, at closer range, he could see the Pope was not 9 feet tall, was much less ferocious than Abbot Arcos. He knelt to kiss the fisherman's ring, then gave to the Pope the Leibowitz blueprint.
This, then, is the original relic you found in the fallout shelter?
Yes, Holy Father.
So the bandit thought your work was the relic itself. Yes, even a robber can have a keen eye for art, huh? Monsignor Aguera told us of the beauty of your commemoration. What a pity it was stolen.
It was nothing, Holy Father. I only regret that I wasted 15 years.
Oh, wasted? How wasted? If the robber had not been misled by the beauty of your work, he might have taken this, might he not?
Yes, I suppose he might.
Brother Francis, do you understand these symbols used by Leibowitz? The meaning of the thing represented?
No, Holy Father. My ignorance is complete.
So is ours.
The old man chuckled, pressed his lips to the relic as if kissing an altar stone.
We thank you for those 15 years. Never think of them as wasted. Those years were spent to preserve this original. Someday the meaning of the original may be discovered and may prove important. Huh?
The old man blinked. Or was it a wink?
Without your work, the world's amnesia might well be total. And now, goodbye. Goodbye.
Monsignor Aguera touched Francis's arm and escorted him out of the audience room, then embraced the monk warmly and handed him a package.
A token from the Holy Father.
The package contained a purse.
2 heklos of gold.
Oh, you did say the robber won the commemoration from you in a wrestling match, didn't you?
Yes, Monsignor.
Then I don't think you'd be wrong to buy it back.
Francis trudged back toward his abbey on foot. There'd been days and weeks on the trail, but his heart was singing. Buy it back, Monsignor Aguera had said. With the 2 heklos of gold, he'd be able to buy back his commemoration. But the robber was not waiting where Francis had hoped. Footprints at the place, but no sign of the robber. Sun filtered through the trees to cover the ground in leafy shadows. The forest was not dense, but it offered shade. He sat down to wait and watched the buzzards circling overhead. It seemed peaceful in the forest that day.
Can't say I'll mind if I have to wait a day or two for him. Make a nice break.
He glanced down the trail toward his distant home in the desert. From here, one could see a mile of trail in either direction while remaining hidden in the thatch of forest. Something moved out there in the distance. He shielded his eyes, studied the movement. Whatever it was, it wiggled and shimmered in the heat. times it seemed to wear a head. At times, it was completely obscured in the heat glaze. But it was approaching. Once, when the edge of a cloud brushed at the sun, the heat shimmer subsided for a few seconds, and he could see it was a man. He shivered. Something about that figure was familiar.
Could it be? The old pilgrim? The old man? Who led me to the fallout shelter? No. Not possibly. Not after all these years.
He crossed himself. Began telling his rosary beads. While Francis watched the distant pilgrim limping towards him, a debate about Francis was in progress. Behind him,
thy kingdom come,
on the canyon wall,
thy will be done.
Soon the debate was over,
as it is in heaven,
and the Pope's children, eyes fixed on Francis's back, stole quietly down the canyon wall,
as we forgive
toward him,
trespass against us.
With drawn bows.
But lead us not.
10 feet behind Francis, a pebble rattled. He turned to look. The arrow hit him squarely between the eyes. The buzzards circling overhead swooped down for a closer look. Out on the trail, the pilgrim saw the buzzards and stopped. He sat in the sunlight and watched them congregating over that wooded patch, as if impatient to land. As long as the buzzards remained interested but reluctant, the pilgrim remained the same. There were cougars in those hills. And beyond the peak were things worse than cougars who sometimes prowled afar. So the pilgrim waited until the buzzards descended among the trees. Then he stood up and limped ahead toward the forested patch, dividing his weight between his game leg and his staff. The buzzards were busy at the remains of Francis. The pilgrim chased the birds away from the body. There was an arrow through the skull, protruding at the back of the neck. No one in sight, but many footprints. It was not safe to stay. But safe or not, the job had to be done. He found a place where the earth was soft. While he dug, the angry buzzard circled low over the treetops, sometimes darting down, but then flapping their way up again. For an hour, they fluttered anxiously above the wooded hillside until the pilgrim was gone. Then one bird landed. It strutted indignantly over a mound of fresh earth with a rock marker at one end. Disappointed, it took wing again. A flock of dark scavengers abandoned the place and soared high on the rising currents of air while they hungrily watched the land. There was a dead hog beyond the Valley of the Mistborn. The buzzards glided down for a feast. Later, in a far mountain pass, a cougar licked her chops and left her kill. The buzzards seemed thankful for the chance to finish her meal. The buzzards laid their eggs in season and lovingly fed their young. The younger generation waxed strong, soared high and far on black wings, waiting for the fruitful earth to yield up her bountiful carrion. Sometimes dinner was only a toad. Once it was a Monsignor from New Rome. Their flight carried them over the Midwestern plains, They were delighted with the bounty of good things which the nomads left lying on the land during their ride over toward the south. The buzzards laid their eggs in season and lovingly fed their young. Earth had nourished them bountifully for centuries. She would nourish them for centuries more. Pickings were good for a while in the region of the Red River. But then, out of the carnage, a city-state arose. For rising city-states, the buzzards had no fondness, although they approved of their eventual fall. They shied away from Texarkana and ranged far over the plain to the west. After the manner of all living things, they replenished the earth many times with their kind. Eventually, it was the year of our Lord, 3174. There were rumors of war.
Here endeth the chronicle for today. That was the last of the 2600-year episodes. Next week we begin the 3100-year episodes of the story, A Canticle for Leibowitz. If you'd like to know what's coming up on sound effects, go to greatnorthernaudio.com, and on the left there is a link to sound effects on KFAI. And there is a link to a schedule for the future and a little bit of the past. I'm Jerry Stearns. This has been Sound Effects. And if you'd like to hear a little bit of the future, stay tuned for Abby's Room for One. Join us again next week for more modern audio theater and comedy on Sound Effects, a radio playground, here on Fresh Air Radio.
Support for KFAI comes in part from First Avenue, presenting Space Monkey Mafia and Left on 10th at the Turf Club Wednesday, July 29th. Minneapolis's own Space Monkey Mafia is rooted in 90s and 2000s ska and punk, infused with a healthy dose of contemporary influences, lyrical urgency, and a message to meet the moment. Co-headlining this show is Left on 10th. Opening the show is Sunshine and the Nightwalkers. More information about Space Monkey Mafia and Left on 10th at the Turf Club is available at first-avenue.com.
Got a shop, studio, food truck, or side hustle with soul? KFAI loves small businesses that keep the Twin Cities vibrant. Underwriting with us gets your name out to listeners who care about showing up, buying local, and spreading the word.
Underwriting with KFAI is not just support, it's connection. Let's grow something good together. Learn more at kfai.org/underwriting.
In recognition of the freedom of speech protections on the First Amendment and the FCC's relaxed policy on late night and overnight language, this KFAI program may include song lyrics that some listeners might find objectionable. Listener discretion is advised.
You can't always get what you want, but you try sometimes. You get what you need.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, 90.3 FM Minneapolis, going out to the stratosphere, or on the web at www.kfai.org, where you can catch this train wreck for the next 2 weeks. It's archived. This is Abby's Room for One Radio. You're at the end of your week, or the beginning of the next one, or somewhere in the middle, because our work weeks never end. But Rock, well, that never dies. Here's some stuff.
She hasn't got a heart and she hasn't got a soul. Said that she is not the out of one. But I'm a rebel leader, but I never could retrieve her.